The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to
Sea Life Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First, General Insurance Company, Bank of the Bahamas, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Everybody Wins, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Tampa General Hospital, and Wendy's.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers remain the same. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. If you are in the Family Islands, you can call us toll-free on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. Well, the Prime Minister of the country took to the airwaves last night to talk about the crisis at Bahamas Power and Light, the seemingly endless outages that Bahamians, especially in New Providence, but in other parts of the Bahamas, have been enduring for months on end now. And took about 20 minutes or so to talk about it. Now, I said yesterday that, you know, it matters what kind of speech you're trying to give, right? If you're trying to motivate, if you're trying to inform people, that's another thing. If you're trying to persuade people, that's another thing. If you're debating, that's another thing. I listened to the Prime Minister last night. I read Prime Minister's speech. It was kind of like you're trying to persuade or inform somebody about something, was what I gathered. But having listened, I'm curious. A couple of things. I have some observations, but I'm curious about some things. Most especially, your reaction as listeners to the speech. You, Republic of the Bahamas. I'm interested to find out whether you could check off these boxes now. Having listened to the Prime Minister, 20 minutes last night, or maybe you heard some excerpts from it today or so, read some excerpts from it or read the entire speech. I'm interested in whether you could tick off some boxes before I make some comments. So, and these are the boxes. So, can you tick this box off? You now understand why your power keeps going out in New Providence, in Abaco, in Elutra, in Grand Key. You now fully understand why. The power keeps going out. You Prime Minister cleared that all up for you last night. You now understand. You now clearly know when it will end. You know when this will end. Prime Minister cleared that up for you tonight. Yeah, I mean, by the way, while the Prime Minister was giving the speech, power went out. No joke. The power went out in New Providence and several places. People were texting to tell people their power was out while the Prime Minister was giving his speech about power outages at BPL. But you now understand why the power is going out, why it keeps going out, and when it will end. You now, that's clear. So from the Prime Minister's speech, that's clear. You now know who to blame for the power outages. So are you checking this boxes? You could text me, call me, and let me know. Yeah, I know who to blame now. Whether to blame the past administration, meaning the minister administration, because you have to now forget that Prime Minister himself, when he was Deputy Prime Minister in a Christie administration, was the minister responsible for Bahamas Power and Light, when he at the time tried to, in his words, transform BPL, because he was the one who moved it from being BEC, Bahamas Electricity Corporation, being Bahamas Power and Light. And he, at the time, attempted to sell, to privatize BEC. I think Blue Waters was the name of the company that attended before the general election. And also, he was minister when Power Secure was contracted, a foreign company, to manage BPL. So I don't know if he means past administrations as in anyone he was involved with, but are you now aware of who to blame? Any past administrations, the sun for the excessive heat, the climate because global warming is taking place, or whatever else? Are you ticking off that box now because you know who to blame? Do you now know how much it will cost to fix BPL? Do you now know how much it will cost? And where the money is coming from to fix BPL? Prime Minister said, he told you all a couple of years ago, $500 million, the engineer said, was required to upgrade the system and so forth and so forth. So is that the cost? And you now know where the money is coming from the Prime Minister's speech. You now know from the Prime Minister's speech how the workers of BPL got paid $20 million in overtime. You know now how that happened, because the Prime Minister explained to you how it happened. This overtime that they were being paid was work that BGC, but BGC wasn't doing, and BPL's workers were doing it, and notwithstanding that cost went to BPL at $20 million, there was no adjustment. Grid company's compensation of $8 million a month to reflect the fact that it was not doing the work that BPL's workers were being paid overtime to do. Because if you'd made that adjustment, then the net to the owners, the government owns 40% of BGC, Bahamas Grid Company, and owns 100% Bahamas Power and Light, the net to the government and the owners would have been pretty much zero if you made that adjustment. But you now know how they were being paid that overtime, who supervised them, who agreed to pay them. And you most especially know when this overtime was being paid. Apparently, when Leslie Miller was minister responsible for BEC, when he raised the issue of overtime, it must have been resolved then, because it never came up. And then it must have been resolved when Donovan Moxey was chairman of BPL, because he raised it, and it must have been resolved then, because when the government changed in 2021, we went to 2022, didn't hear about overtime. We went to 2023 and didn't hear about overtime. We went to 2024 and didn't hear about overtime. When the Prime Minister made his major energy reform speech in Parliament, as he indicated and others, we didn't hear about overtime pay then either. It wasn't, you know, we heard about the $500 million legacy debt. We heard about the $500 million required to fix PPL. But nobody mentioned that this juggernaut of a $20 million overtime pay was so destabilizing to BPL that we needed to mention it. And so we now know and understand everything we needed to know and understand about overtime and how it is the thing that is putting BPL on the brink of collapse, financial collapse and ruin. Not the debt, not the $500 million debt, not the $500 million required to upgrade the place. BPL is on the brink of ruin because these people are getting overtime pay. And you now know how it is possible for people to get overtime because they give themselves it. You know how it's possible for them to pay themselves overtime because they pay themselves it. You know how it's possible for them to ignore and avoid all the procedures that require a supervisor to approve and a manager to approve the supervisor's approval and for the board to review what the management does and so forth before the financial people actually pay the people. You now know how that works. You're ticking off this box. Do you now know why BGC, Bahamas Grid Company, is so great and is doing such a great job? You now know that's clear to you. Clear to you, you know how that is happening. You also know why it justifiably gets $8 million a month. You know that because, you know, you've heard in the Prime Minister's speech what is being accomplished and achieved by Bahamas Grid Company. You tick that box off. You now know from the Prime Minister's speech how the $500 million debt that that Bahamas Power and Light owes is going to be paid. You now know how that's going to happen. So the Prime Minister told you, this is how we're going to pay off that debt. You now know the ages of all the generators, transformers, buildings, alternators, et cetera, all the equipment that was inherited. You now know all those ages, when they were purchased, who purchased them, whether it was the Pinling administration purchased this set, the Ingram administration between 92 and 2002 purchased this set, the Christie administration between 2002 and 2007 purchased this set, the Ingram administration between 2007 and 2012 purchased this set, the Christie administration between 2012 and 2017 purchased this set. That would have been when the Prime Minister was Minister of Works then too. You would know which was purchased during the 2017-2021 when Minnis was there. Because we do know that the Minnis administration purchased some Wadzilla. They're not old. We know that was just between 2017 and 2021. And then you know what was purchased in this most recent administration. We know those things now, so we can now properly assign based on that table of acquisitions. Now, we know new equipment was bought in all of those administrations. Let's be clear now. We know that, right? We know the new equipment was bought under Ingram, under Christie, under Ingram, under Christie, under Ingram, under Minnis, and Christie. We know that. Right, so you could check that box off. So that gives you a better sense of why the Prime Minister continues to say we inherited. That's if you look at the speech, you see that often occurs. We inherited, and then you know what BPL's financial position is. Of course, you know what BPL's financial position is because financial statements are available for you to know. Because the Prime Minister indicated that last night, no? So were you able to check those boxes off from the speech last night so that you have clarity? You can now go to sleep tonight. And I'm asking you, can you now go to sleep tonight comforted in the knowledge that you fully understand what is happening at BPL? You know why it is happening. You know who to blame for what is happening. You're fully satisfied it will end at a particular period of time known to you. You know how and why it will end because you know how all of the legacy issues of debt and financial requirements to upgrade the company will be done. You are now satisfied that the BGC, Bahamas Grid and Bahamas Power and Light arrangement is a working, functioning arrangement that has been producing good results for the Bahamas, and that all that is required now is for the rest of the upgrade to be done, and you and the country will be satisfied. And you can go to sleep tonight if the power goes off saying, oh, but that's okay. This is going to happen because it's hot. The climate is hot because the equipment is old. And it was left by this administration in that condition. And there's too much debt owed by BPL. And we need to find $500 million, but BGC is on the job. And so it's okay. I'll just wait. I'm good. Let me know if that's how you get to walk away from the speech last night, please. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone.
Wendy's is spicing things up this summer with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger. A hot, juicy beef patty topped with spicy jalapenos, creamy ranch sauce, melted cheese, and fresh toppings for the perfect balance of cool and spicy. Every bite brings bold flavor that keeps you coming back for more. Turn up the flavor with the new jalapeno ranch cheeseburger at Wendy's today. Available for a limited time only.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/global.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, B Bamboo Shack Bahamas, there, the Athlete's Foot and BTC, Games and John Bullfine Threads, Alive Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's Clarks and Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
Back to school is almost here. Guardian Media Group is helping you get ready with the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds on Carter Street, Oaks Field. Bring the family for an afternoon of fun, surprises, and all the school supplies your kids need for back to school, like books, pencils, school bags, and everything needed to start the school year off right. It's the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds. Guardian Media Group. Informing, entertaining, and giving back to the people of the Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad that you could join us. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me just correct something. Prime Minister, when he was Minister responsible for works, was being very busy. Blue Waters was BTC. This was what Blue Waters was, an attempt to privatize BTC. BTC, that was the attempt, not BEC. Not BEC, okay? So we got the speech last night from the Prime Minister. And I have to confess that, you know, I was looking to hear some things that I did not hear. I did not hear in the speech from the Prime Minister. Because to be clear, I am still not certain what is causing the outages at Bahamas Power and Light. Prime Minister says it's old equipment that he that the government inherited. He says that it's the heat. We've had excessive heat wave. He says it's the old transformers. It's the old cables. Now, bear this in mind. I want you all to bear this in mind. That's one of the arguments. But bear this in mind. The Prime Minister and the government just said they were rescuing Grand Bahamians from Grand Bahama Power and Light. Rescuing Grand Bahamians from Grand Bahama Power and Light. Indicated that they were going to purchase Grand Bahama Power Company for $200 million and borrow $100 million to upgrade Grand Bahama's equipment. So Grand Bahama has old, aging equipment too. I dare any of you to drive past the plant, Grand Bahama Power's plant, and go drive past the plant and see all that rust and all that stuff. By the way, Grand Bahama Power Company also rents generators. Rents generators, right? But the Prime Minister said they're rescuing Grand Bahamians from Grand Bahama Power Company. Now, mind you, in all this heat wave, in all this climate change, Grand Bahama Power Company with the same aged equipment that they have in Nassau that requires $100 million to be borrowed to upgrade the equipment, according to the Prime Minister and the government, Grand Bahama has not seen anything close to what is being experienced in New Providence, in Grand Key, in Eleuthera. Not even close. Not even close. I live here. I can tell you it's so. So what is different? What is it about the Grand Bahama Power Company has been around a long time? Okay? Grand Bahama Power Company ain't just come around. Remember, the Grand Bahama the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement was signed in the 50s. And that power company been around a long time. I got to check and see exactly when. I'm told by engineers that Grand Bahama Power Company has some of the same transformers, aged, old as is in New Providence. So I asked them, I said, well, why y'all don't have the heat busting up your stuff and what have you? They said, because we just maintain our stuff. But, right? So I still don't know why that is. I still don't know how it is that if we transferred the transmission and distribution equipment and assets to Bahamas Grid Company, I believe as our contribution to the ownership of Bahamas Grid Company, how it was that we were paying $8 million a month to Bahamas Grid Company to do an upgrade that the Bahamas that the prime minister tells us was $140 billion of upgrade, and that our BPL workers were doing the work that Bahamas grid workers were supposed to be doing. $8 million a year is about $100 million. $8 million a month is about $100 million in 1 year. If you spend $140 million doing upgrades and I'm paying you $8 million a month, $100 million a year, in 2 years' time, you've already gotten back all you've invested in the $140 million worth of equipment. And on top of that, you are saving on your operation expenses because my workers at BPL are doing your work. And therefore, the cost of that is going in overtime to BPL. So what is the operating expenses of Bahamas Grid Company? Again, the government of the Bahamas owns Bahamas Grid Company, 40%. The government of Bahamas owns Bahamas Power and Light. There are no financial statements available for either. So what are the operating expenses of Bahamas Grid Company that you could match against an $8 million a month revenue stream? Is Bahamas Grid paying out $8 million a month in expenses? $8 million a month? My understanding of what has happened with Bahamas Grid Company is that the transfer of that those assets and the transmission distribution assets is the government's contribution, equity contribution, Bahamas Grid. Right? That's how you buy in. That's how you buy into Bahamas Grid. That's my understanding. For 40% ownership of Bahamas Grid, the government sends over what I understand is valued about $100 million in T&D assets. And that's what they are. But we don't know the details of Bahamas Grid Company's deal like that. Okay. What I also, I must also mention this. The government says that Bahamas Grid Company is now a Bahamian-owned company. And I kept wondering why the government expects us to get excited about that. why would Bahamas Power and Light is 10, 15 times bigger, larger, more established than Bahamas Grid Company, and it is fully Bahamian managed. Fully Bahamian managed. It was doing the work of transmission and distribution before Pike came. The government brought in a foreign group to help with the Bahamas, with the transmission and distribution. So the government put foreign participation in that stream. Why now then should I celebrate that the foreigners have left, now solely managing Bahamas Grid Company, and we have all these issues and questions and stuff coming up that don't make the Bahamian team look good? It does not. You tell me, it doesn't make it look good. We weren't having these same issues when Pike was here. Were we? When it wasn't fully Bahamian managed, were we having the same issues? No. Should I then conclude that it's the Bahamians doing this? So I wasn't quite sure what the point that was, but we don't know. We don't know yet that. I wasn't quite certain what the prime minister was saying in terms of when Bahamians could look to see an end to these outages, this frequent, widespread outages. I wasn't sure. He said that it's not a failure of the $140 million invested to date by Bahamas Grid and upgrade, and the stuff that were done to improve the alternators and rebuild the stuff, which I found curious because, I mean, really, honestly, folks, I know a little bit something about BEC/BPL. that stuff, paying you, buying new generators, retrofitting old generators, and retrofitting old equipment. That's not new. You don't run a power company for decades and decades and not be doing that stuff. So I didn't get that, what that meant, but it isn't clear when this will come to an end. It's not clear. I heard dates about 2027, 2028, but I surely don't believe the Prime Minister is telling you to endure that till 2027, 2028. I can't believe that that was what was being said. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Serious beef, then get ready, because Burger King Nassau is bringing back the double quarter pound king. That's a full half pound of flame grilled beef topped with melty cheese, tangy mustard, crunchy pickle, and fresh onions. Served on a toasted sesame seed bun, classic style, big flavor, big protein, big satisfaction. Get your double quarter pound king meal with medium fries and a drink for only $10.35. More food, less money, only at Burger King Nassau.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the gold package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Back to school is almost here. Guardian Media Group is helping you get ready with the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds on Carter Street, Oaks Field. Bring the family for an afternoon of fun, surprises, and all the school supplies your kids need for back to school, like books, pencils, school bags, and everything needed to start the school year off right. It's the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds. Guardian Media Group, informing, entertaining, entertaining, and giving back to the people of the Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands toll-free on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, you know, I mentioned that the government's contribution to Bahamas Grid Company for its 40% participation in Bahamas Grid Company was the transfer of the T&D transmission and distribution assets of BPL. I mentioned that. But this is a murky area. This is a muddy area because Prime Minister last night talked about Bahamas Grid Company being responsible for transmission and distribution, and therefore the work that BGC is supposed to be doing was being done by BPL, and they were getting the overtime for that work. That's, we're going to talk about that some more, but the truth is, as Rachel Scott reminds us in her article in the Nassau Guardian, the CEO of Bahamas Grid Company, Dario McKenzie, confirmed that the transmission and distribution assets of BPL have not yet been transferred to itself. They do not have control of SEEM. Which is it? Does BGC have the assets and therefore control and should be managing the transmission and distribution? Or does BPL have it? Which is why they have been doing the necessary and being paid overtime to do it. Which is it? We don't know. Well, I mean, I do know some things. My understanding is that the transfer of the transmission and distribution assets have not been able to take place because, this is my understanding, and I'm happy to be corrected if I'm wrong, it's because they are encumbered, meaning there are BPL loans against them. And if you want to move them from one entity to the next, you either have to pay off the loan or you have to transfer the loan with the assets. But they are encumbered. That's what's been the problem. Now, is there only a notional arrangement then that Bahamas Grid Company is supposed to be managing the transmission and distribution of the assets, but in point of fact, the legal responsibility still belongs to Bahamas Power and Light? And therefore, when something comes up, this is one of the reasons why Bahamians could not get a clear answer as to whose responsibility it was. One day it's BGC, the next day it's BPL. BPL saying, well, you know, there was some, what they call it now, irregular configuration of the T&D system. And then the next day, BGC saying, well, you need to call Bahamas Power and Light. Why? The confusion exists because the asset status is in question. Is that what's happening? Because that wasn't clarified last night by the Prime Minister. It wasn't clarified at all. Prime Minister spent a lot of time about overtime, but we still don't have some answers on overtime. Who assigned BPL's workers to work overtime? Who assigned BPL's workers to work as much overtime? How long were they assigning BPL's workers to work this overtime? Why, if they knew this was work that Bahamas Grid Company should be doing, did they assign BPL workers to work this overtime? Did BPL, did Bahamas Grid have the staff with the competence and complement to work this work that BPL workers ended up working overtime, as Prime Minister indicated? Who supervised the supervisors who assigned the overtime to BPL workers? How long did those supervise those workers to assign that overtime? How does a board of a company for one entire year see overtime accruing to 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million, 7 million, 8 million, 9 million, 10 million, 11 million, 12 million, 13 million, 14 million, 15 million, 16 million, 17 million, 18 million, 19 million, $20 million over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months before they say, wait a minute here, something's going on. When does the minister responsible for BPL, who has to find $50 million that BPL desperately needs, start to ask the board, y'all have an issue with overtime since it's so critical, so crucial, so fundamental and foundational to the financial operations of BPL? How long does the minister know this is going on or not know? How long does the government know or not know? How long does the Minister of Finance know or not know? How long does the Prime Minister, who says, buck stops with me, that's why I came to you myself, How long? How long? Now, I hope nobody tries to put all this mess going on at BBL, the outages, the lightning strike, the transformer blow up, the cables explode because of the heat. I hope they don't try to put that on these BBL workers and suspend or fire them. Because you cannot suspend or fire people who cannot assign themselves to work, overtime or not, cannot pay themselves for overtime. It would be an act of great injustice if a worker, I don't care if you get paid $1 million, goes home if somebody else had to sign off on your work and sign off on your pay. It is especially egregious if the government does it, because the government had overspend at the beaches and park in the tens of millions of dollars, in travel in the tens of millions of dollars. You go and see what the Parliament of the Bahamas allotted to beaches and parks, allotted to travel for the government of the Bahamas, and then see what the final tally was at the end of the day. You can't require efficiency, accountability, and transparency of them, and don't require of yourself. We still, to this day, don't know lots of details about the deals that have taken place at BPL. We do not. You know, transparency isn't dumping documents on me, you know. That's not transparency. Transparency is providing me with information that helps me understand. Because if I want to dump documents on you so that you drown in the details, then I'm trying to be non-transparent. But when I want to be transparent, I will distill the information for you so that you can clearly know. Let's be clear on that. Transparency and accountability isn't simply an act of giving. It's an act of supplying information for understanding, because the point of it is the government tells you what it did and makes it possible for you to see what it did. That's called accountability, transparency. And then the government explains what it is and gives its rationale for what it is. That's called accountability. So you can't require that of BPL workers. I mean, it is actually, to me, it's really a farce to really put it on BPL workers, because as I said, the last I would love to work at a place where I get to determine my overtime. I just walk up and down, working 20 hours overtime today. Sometimes the people was working 96 stops for this. How you do that? I'd love to be in a position to do that. I'd be rich. But you and I know better. Can't happen. And nobody's going to pretend and put this shiny object in front of me to make me think that that's what's been happening at BPL. Nobody. All through January, February, March, April, May, June, July, up from $1 million straight up to $20 million. Nobody check. Nobody pick it up. If that is true, everybody who's responsible should be gone. So I hope nobody's suspending nor firing no workers. I hope not. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we're talking about the Prime Minister's speech on Bahamas Power and Light last night. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me tell you all something. A number of y'all are texting about OT. And I'm going to read your text. I want you to know. But I also want you to know that there's a reason the Prime Minister spent substantial amounts of time on the OT. substantial. Despite the fact that the overtime as a proportion of the overall expenses of PPL is negligible. As an overall proportion, in terms of the impact on BPL's financial circumstances, regard being had to its $500 million debt, regard being had to its $500 million upgrade need, $20 million, of which a significant portion has to be valid, had to have been substantiated, it is a small amount compared to those big ticket items. But you know what is going to happen? Y'all can keep texting me about this overtime, even though some people understand exactly how the overtime works, though. I have a very, very informed person texting me to say, all planned overtime work at BPL had to be approved by management before the overtime work is carried out. Also, emergency overtime, which refers to when an equipment suddenly breaks down, management is connected first to be informed or to inform them of the breakdown, and then management in turn authorizes the overtime. So somebody texted me to say that they just heard somebody was being disciplined for overtime. Disciplined for overtime? You mean disciplined in the manager's aid? You mean disciplined in the board aid? Discipline. Boy, I wouldn't believe that. So, this text is Mr. Lang. I couldn't get around the fact that the speech looked AI generated. But anyway, all I know is the PLP party has spent the most time in government. So the Prime Minister talking about previous administrations is speaking about his own party. I still have yet to come to the realization from his speech on why the power keeps going out, or what it would take to fix BPL, as well as where the money would come from, shake my head. He must be a great lawyer, as he said a lot, but nothing of substance to me. I'm sure some great lawyers would take some umbrage with that. Mr. Lang, if BPL paying out for services BGC supposed to be conducting, is the government taking away from the $8 million given to them monthly? Apparently not. Apparently not. This text says, Chivago, I did not hear anything about Pike. Yes, yeah. But that's the other thing. We don't know the ownership structure of BGC. We know the government owns 40%, but who owns the other 60%? Is it Pike? Is Pike in, Pike out? What's the deal with Pike now? But BGC is getting $8 million a month. What paid to who? Like, we don't know. We don't know. That's a good point. We still don't know. This text says power secure was BEC. Yes. Yeah. See, this is the reason why we need to see the terms and conditions of the agreement between BGC and BPL. This administration needs to get out of this secrecy mode in which they are stuck. We are literally in darkness with no light at the end of the tunnel. Right, Z, who authorized the overtime? You know time. Yeah, that's right. It was 1 o'clock news that people were being disciplined for overtime. I missed that. This says, Mr. Lang, they can't fire any line staff. As a former senior member of BEC, there are at least three levels of approval prior to any overtime being worked. It went as high as CFO. I, too, was always amazed at the amount of overtime that was consistently worked and wondered why additional hires were not made. I personally didn't think it humanly possible for individuals to work the hours. Management is ultimately responsible for such wastage, no question but that. And if management heads ain't rolling and you disciplining some workers, oh sugar. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Did electricity go off for other people during the PM's address? It went off for me 30 seconds into the address. The last thing I heard was the buck stops with me. Then the lights went off. That's ironic. So they suspended one of the BPL workers, but apparently have given another reason, not OT. Okay, I can't see that. I mean, honestly, whatever you think about the government, whatever you think about BPL's management, the board, I can't see them doing something as dumb as firing, suspending, disciplining anybody for overtime pay. And if they find another reason, and you think they're doing it trying to scapegoat, well, you know what to do. Say, yeah, two of the BPL workers who received overtime payment had meetings scheduled this morning. The board wanted to terminate them, but instead is supposed to suspend them, waiting to hear results from the meeting. Oh, this is from somebody who knows stuff. Let me tell you something. When you were younger and you were playing hide and seek, and there was some person who used to be standing in the wide open with their hands over their eyes like no one could see them? I would not believe that you start talking about overtime in the midst of all the funk going on with BPL, and then you then decide that you leak the private information of these people about who gets paid what. Now, mind you, let me explain something to you while I remember. The government of the Bahamas said that it would not release, it would not say how much money was paid to a number of persons whose cases had been settled against the government, lawsuits and otherwise. It said it wouldn't release that because those people, according to the Minister of National Security then, might be targets for X, Y, and Z. But it's okay to release that this worker, that worker, the next worker was getting paid over $200,000 in overtime pay. It's okay to say that because they will not be targeted. Right? That ain't funny. Okay, now those workers who got named are going to be suspended for some reason other than overtime. And I can't connect them dots. Woo! Come on, man. You can't make that stuff up if that's true. Cannot make that stuff up if that's true. This text says, good afternoon, Brother Lang. I worked in a government corporation for many years, and this is how OT works. The department head has to approve OT or no work can be done, emergency or otherwise. When approved, the manager must sign, then the department head must sign, and the assistant general manager must sign. So they must start at the top, laugh out loud. Excellent show as usual, bro. Thank you for allowing God to use you. Keep dropping the knowledge. Thank you for that. I try my best. This says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You asked the question, what is the difference between Grand Bahama Power Company and BPL? The answer is management. Freeport Power Now, Grand Bahama Power, was established and operated as a private company where performance and competence determined your employment. While BEC, now BPL, suffered from political patronage. I cannot argue with that. Cannot argue with it. Cannot. I cannot argue that. That's part and parcel of the challenge of having a government, a state-owned enterprise, that you run into those kinds of issues for sure. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. We were in darkness, driving, listening to the speech. I thank God it was only 20 minutes because the more we drove, the more out of time. If he spoke longer, the entire country would be in darkness. I learned nothing more than he said we would have power outage, but I almost ran off the road when he said power outage is 45% less. The PM would have been better off if he had said nothing. The PM, when he said that power outages would have been less. And here's the problem with that. But that claim, okay, that's a real problem with the claim. First of all, in order for you to be able to to justifiably make a claim like that. There has to be a standard definition of outage. And there has to be an independent keeper of outage. Okay? Right? So you have to have some kind of means of verification. I learned this from some people who are in the business of monitoring these things. Every outage doesn't constitute outage in the same way, right? Okay, that's one thing. Then secondly, Prime Minister said outage is prevented. You know what that's like to me? That's like we get off on putting billboards up about how many murders happened over the last 5 years, right? 400 plus murders. But what if I had come out and say, yeah, but you don't know how many murders the police prevented. Police prevented thousands of murders. You know what they would have said to me? Stop talking craziness. That's just foolish talk. Right? So I'm sorry, a statistic on outages that didn't occur, that's incredulous. That's not really something that you can sell to people, really. Because the outage that matters is the one that you experience, just like the murder that you experience is the one that matters, right? That's what happens, right? People don't think about, because if they did, they think, well, we have 400,000 people in the country and only 150,000 were murdered. Oh, wow, we're doing great. Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that because you just lost a life, 2 lives, 10 lives. Well, you had a massive outage across the country or the island. You had Grand Key out for 5, 6, 7, 8 days. Nobody's going to go around, but yeah, but you don't remember the outages we didn't have. Really? You were able to keep outages from happening, but you couldn't keep this big one from happening? And I should celebrate. I think people will find that kind of difficult to swallow. This text says, small correction. Oh, yeah, I corrected that already. This text says, Island Grid's only focus was the money they would extract from BEC on this sweet deal where they had to invest no capital. They invested some capital. Would be paid $8 million a month, rely on BEC staff to do the work at no cost and have the government borrow any money needed to purchase new equipment. It is egregious. That's not true. That's not true. Bahamas Grid raised money privately, $100 million. And Bahamas Grid did acquire equipment for upgrading the T&D. They did do some of that, we are told. So I don't want to say they didn't. And they use government money to do it. What we don't know is we are not clear about the details. We definitely ain't clear. And I want to remind Bahamas Grid Company, the fact that the government of the Bahamas is a part of your ownership makes you a public company. You're public. The government dealing with you, that means the public has a right to know. That's the reality. The public, who elected the government? People of the Bahamas. Whose business is the government I'm doing? People of the Bahamas. Whose interest is the government of the Bahamas pursuing? The people of the Bahamas. See, you can't escape public scrutiny or accountability or transparency in that way. You'd have been better off to take the whole thing by yourself and just be a private company. But since you're a public company, different story. I mean, the government involved, different story. They may not ask the private party all for nothing. They could ask the government. It says, it's egregious that we are paying management fees to a company with zero power plant expertise. Another world's first for the Bahamas, a zero-risk billion-dollar investment. Well, let's look at that claim. Bahamas Grid Company was just established. So this is not a company that has a track record. As an entity, it does not have a track record. And so when you say it doesn't have an experience in that, that's true. Now, its relationship with Pike was supposed to give it its track record. But that relationship is murky right now, so we don't know. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
The islands are calling. Escape the crowds and traffic. Dive into crystal clear waters and feel your stress just melt away. Explore scenic natural wonders and rediscover your Bahamian roots. Go back to the islands with BOB's Ultimate Island Escape Promotion. For your chance to win, apply today for a BOB consumer loan or a BOB Visa Gold credit card at bankbahamas.com. Win big with BOB, your bank of solutions. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know that world-class medicine is just a quick flight away in Tampa? Tampa General is Florida's premier academic health system and one of America's top hospitals. Our global medicine program delivers advanced treatment options, assists with coordinating travel, and provides cultural support from a multilingual team. Discover the power of academic medicine at Tampa General's Global Medicine Program. For more, visit tgh.org/globalmedicine.
At Everybody Wins Live, the winning is bigger, the action is hotter, and the excitement never stops. We're giving away thousands in cash and free spins every month through our high-paying casino tournament. From spin-off to spin rush to our high-energy slot race tournament, your next spin can turn into your next payday. But that's not all. Lottery players can chase the jackpot, where every $10 lottery spend gets you one step closer to bursting the next jackpot. Will you be our next winner? What are you waiting for? Visit Everybody Wins Live to see all the ways you can cash in.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Back to school is almost here. Guardian Media Group is helping you get ready with the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds on Carter Street, Oaks Field. Bring the family for an afternoon of fun, surprises, and all the school supplies your kids need for back to school, like books, pencils, school bags, and everything needed to start the school year off right. It's the Back to School Jamboree. Friday, August 21st from 11 to 3 at the Guardian Media Grounds. Guardian Media Group, informing, entertaining, entertaining and giving back to the people of the Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. This text says, according to the numbers, the northern Bahamas experienced temperatures that were 10 to 15% higher than New Providence. For example, one day when the temperature reached 90 degrees on New Providence, it was would be equivalent to 104 degrees on Grand Bahama. The generators rented for Grand Bahama Power, which are primarily used for generation, are identical to those of New Smith. In fact, some of them sourced from New Providence. Therefore, we should have experienced greater stress on the generation capacity on Grand Bahama compared to that on New Providence. We didn't have the issues on Grand Bahama that New Providence experienced. I have for workers that allows them to achieve a full-time job with a 40-hour work week along with the option for overtime. Under this agreement, employees can work up to 12 hours in one day. After reaching their regular hours, they earn time and a half for a certain number of hours for some above their eight-hour day to a limit, and then double pay for remaining hours of the week. So time and a half and double time can result in a huge payday, says this text. says, on the last 3 days, if they work 12 hours a day, those days are booked as working 24 hours per day. No employee will work more than 12 hours in a single day throughout the 7-day period. It says management has to authorize sign off on every hour over the regular time. And two management levels have to sign off on the hours above the time and a half. 90 hours. Oh, yeah. Okay. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. Caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, a pleasure. Hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
Right here. Just listening to the conversation. And you made some interesting points. And so I want to add my perspective to what I heard last night from the Prime Minister Davis, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis. And let me say firstly, at the outset, Trivago, that I believe that the Prime Minister's communication was excellent. I believe that the Prime Minister covered all of the bases within the framework of which he stated he was coming to speak to the nation, which is not as a result of the internal contract dealings or specifics, but as a result of what was impacting the production of energy or the transfer of energy to each household or each business, et cetera, in our country, right? I believe that he would have done that job very effectively. Let me go in reverse with my points, starting from the overtime, right? And don't get me wrong when you hear my perspective. This is not me assigning any guilt or any wrong to any employee at BPF. I'm just speaking to structure and protocol, right? And so, yes, clearly overtime has to be approved, right? I'm lying. However, beyond the overtime being approved and paid by management, there's also participation by the persons who are the beneficiary of the overtime. They also have to submit information stating what their overtime is or was, right? And if that information is false, that they would have submitted, Trivago, or untrue, right?
Don't let go of him, man. Don't do that. First of all, I'm not going to have this. I don't want to have an extended talk about overtime.
I'm not. I'm going to go to my point.
I don't want to do that. But overtime works. Overtime ain't new. It ain't no novelty. And ain't nobody can sell me on you forge. You forge $20 million worth of overtime to supervisors who don't get fired? Come on, man. Move on to your next point. I mean, come on, man. You think the Prime Minister did an excellent job? Okay, no problem. That's on you. Right? But don't do that. Don't do that. And you know, the lawyers say, always start with your strongest argument. You see where Antoine started? Overtime. Forget all the $500 million owed in debt. Forget all the $500 million needed for the upgrade. Forget the $8 million a month paid to BGC and have BPL workers doing work that the Prime Minister himself said should have been done by BGC. Forget all of that. Forget that they said it's lightning that strike the equipment. Forget that they said it's old transformers. No, let's start with overtime. Because you always start with your strongest argument. You know why? Because when you go down a list, your list always goes from strong to weak. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Trivago?
Yeah, Antoine. Go ahead, man. But don't go to overtime on me now. And let's go.
Yeah, I already finished my point on that. Okay, moving on.
Okay, yeah.
As it relates to expenditure, right?
Uh-huh.
You would have raised the point relating to the expenditure arriving to the amount that it arrived to, right? Mm-hmm. And you would have questioned how is it possible that the expenditure most likely would be as high as it on the BPL, right?
I believe I never raised any such issues. Never. I talk being what it is, almost $600 million a year. That's not news.
No. I'm not speaking of that part. I'm speaking as related to the $20 million. When you stated, how could the board sit by and watch $1 million?
Yeah, but it's overtime. But it's overtime again. You back at overtime.
Okay, let me move to the next point.
Yeah.
As it relates to, you would have questioned that the Prime Minister did not explain, in your view, what would have led to the breakdown in providing electricity to to the homes, right? Throughout the country.
You mean the outages?
Right?
No, the outages. Outages. You mean the outages?
Okay. Same difference. The outages, right?
No, it ain't the same difference because until outages, BPL provides power to homes. It's the outages that causes the problem.
Okay. Well, Shivago, I want to state clearly that I heard the Prime Minister give a very clear explanation that spoke specifically to why.
Tell me what he said was causing the outages, then. Tell me what he said.
Yes. The Prime Minister, first and foremost, he explained that there is no short supply of generation. Right?
No, Antoine. I want you to tell me what he said was causing the outages.
I'm answering you, Shivago, if you'll give me a chance.
No, but you ain't. But I don't need you to tell me what the Prime Minister said. I could read and I listened to the speech.
But you asked me a question to explain. I called to give
my
perspective.
No, but I want you to answer my question. I don't want you to give me an explanation.
That's what I'm doing.
Long-winded explanation.
What did he say caused
the outages?
Okay. The Prime Minister explained that what happens above ground as it relates to the size of the lines, the size of the wire that is needed to transfer the electricity to homes is completely different from what happens underground, where it's a lot more difficult to diagnose because a lot of the wiring,
he said that was why it was taking long to rectify the outages, because what you can't see on above ground is one thing versus what you can see below ground.
That was the second part of his response. But the first part of his response is exactly what I'm speaking to. There were two components to his response in that on that specific area. He explained in the first instance that if you are supplying more electricity than the lines are designed to carry in the first instance, or if the lines are compromised and you are unaware that those lines are compromised because you cannot see them because they are underground, it would lead to the problem of an explosion on the lines. And then
and he said that's what happened. He said that's why we had these outages. That's what he said.
Yes, Shivago. And then he went on to say the reason why it took so long.
So the lightning striking. The lightning striking was a farce. That wasn't true.
Shivago. Yeah. And then he went on to explain that the reason why it took so long for the repairs, the reason why
let me tell you something, bro. You know you're talking to Shivago Lang. You ain't gonna do that to me. Seriously, bro. Seriously. With the greatest respect to you. Come on. All right? Now, if you have a new point to make, make it now, because otherwise this is done. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Minister Lang. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, we always know that Antoine is going to try and justify a means for using a means. But I was in awe and I could not believe the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas actually came on stage and said the things he said. Because, I mean, even a child could understand that what he was saying wasn't making no sense. He basically was saying, we need to make a change, and this change starts with us making changes. And in order to make the change, some things need to be done to be made changes. And that's what he does. So he go right back round in a circle every time he comes with a speech. Because
Say that again for me.
The changes need to be made, and in order to make the changes, you need to make a change. And then we need to make the changes in order to change the change to make the changes. That's basically what he's been saying every time. Half of his time is basically the same thing. I'm trying to understand who would be writing his script for him, or if they did they do diligence or homework. Because when he sit there and talk about, and this was less outages than then, this is the worst it's ever been. So where? I mean, that was a blatant lie right there.
I thought to lie, you have to know you're saying something that's not the truth. So I can't say Prime Minister lied. But when
I heard, if they're informing him or whoever writes me speech, inform him that you know this a lie, but we can say it anyhow.
You can't say a person lie unless you could prove that they knew what they were saying was not the truth. But I could tell you when he said that, I did think it curious myself because
you know why you're laughing. Because find the facts to support what you're saying.
Yeah, it wasn't rational.
And then the fact that he's trying to use to support what he is saying is, oh, Mutri and all these other organizations are saying this is the best of ever. These are the very same people are saying y'all screwing up and y'all are in a deficit and y'all are doing this.
But you live in the Bahamas, right? I mean, you live in New Providence, right? You live in New Providence?
Exactly.
Okay, so you live in New Providence. You just moved to New Providence? You just started living there?
No.
So you live in New Providence between 2017 and 2026. And you could tell me you are 40% or so less outages now than then?
My only explanation of what he said was the mere fact that, you know what? He wasn't in the country at the time of these outages, so that's why he can't justify them. Because I can't, for the likes of me, understand how he fixed his face in the front of the camera to open his mouth to say the things and utter nonsense he said.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Chicago Lang,
what's going on, man?
Oh, man. I'm trying to figure out moving towards a developed nation, or are we still a developing nation? Or are we something further down the ladder? Because
No, you're a developing nation for sure.
Okay, so aren't we supposed to be trying to bring on, I guess, first world technologies? I just did a quick ChatGPT search to see how much would it cost to solarize and provide power for the entire the city of Nassau. Do you want to guess and see how much? Want to give me a guess?
Well, I don't know what the basis ChatGPT would. I don't know what the basis ChatGPT would use, but you could tell me. Tell me what they say.
Okay, so they did the pretty much the kilowatts that the city uses, and it's around $1.2 billion.
No man.
So well, that's for the battery power. That's on the lower end.
Yeah.
But my point is.
But that's affordable. But that's affordable.
So they said add a next 20 to 100% if you want to use battery power. So if there is a fault, then you know we would have automatic power generation through and throughout.
But you could always switch back to fuel when you go out, just because not a fueling and that being taxed that heavily, you could just switch back for a little bit.
Precisely. So you think, you know, I'm thinking. So even if you added the hybrid tie-in system, it would cost probably the same amount that they would have been paying for the generators and the rental and the fuel and the surcharge and stuff. But my question is, why are we going in this direction? I mean, you have a little bit more insight than us.
The government said it's going to have 30% alternative power, including solar and the like. Remember now, the government signed a number of deals for solar power in the family islands. You know, those are real. I mean, that happened. That actually happened.
Okay. All right.
It's not that the government is ignoring solar. That's not true. The government is solarizing. Even some of the schools and stuff are being solarized.
Okay. Well, my question on ChatGPT specific to the city of Nassau, because I understand Nassau is probably the only city or island that's having this power problems. But okay, I'm trying to be corrected. I'll wait for the solarization in the next couple of
weeks. I got you, brother. We got another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Chivago Lang, how are you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
For his answer, it's 1 million. It's one million per megawatt. If you look at the 300 capacity on New Power, it's not even taking the only produced there. Then it would be $300 million. Then when you add all the other different things, so his estimate. Would actually be significantly lower than maybe.
Well, it ain't his estimate. It's ChatGPT, he said.
I understand. I've calculated this for New Providence and Grand Bahama. If you literally speaking, not counting the infrastructure for delivery, because right now it costs about $1 million.
I agreed you all right that solar is an option. Man, let's talk about what's happening right now.
Let me go back to Antoine, right? Let me tell you exactly what the Prime Minister said, okay? He did not give an excuse. He says, you can have every engine in the fleet running perfectly, and if an overhead or underground cable fails or a transmission catches fire at a substation, the lights will go out. This is exactly what happened on the 13th of July. A transformer failure at a Brewer substation took the whole system down. It's not a shortage of engines. It's underground cable fault caused the fire at a critical transformer. When an overhead fault line, the crew could not see. With a fault underground, they cannot. They must trace section by section, street by street, stamp down by excavation. That particular repair took days instead of hours. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation.
So a cable fault caused the transformer to explode.
No, but see, that's where it conflicts on how TNT performs.
No, I want you to stick a pin there. So a cable fault caused the transformer to explode. Now, tell me what caused the cable fault.
I don't know, but they said the lightning strike did it first.
Exactly. So do I now know what caused the outage?
No, you don't, because you now have three choices. You have three choices. See, because if the transformer went out, right, by the lightning strike or by some other thing, then how do it go in? Even if you look at a cascading failure for the two major plants, that could have came back online and within 5 hours, 4 hours at best. Because what happens is you have a step down system, and according to what BGC said, they said they had finished their thing. So this doesn't make sense in the sense of how transmission and distribution works or how generation works. But if you read the short sentence right there where he ends, right, because he just added to that, well, these challenges are compounded by the global heat wave. There is no explanation as to what has happened, but it's twice broken down.
And this is the point an expert made to me. Says when you have these kinds of failings, we have to do a forensic investigation to determine what happened. Because how else are you going to prevent it from the future? If it's the heat wave and it's the climate change, well, what you going to do? You can't stop the heat wave and the climate change.
Right, and this is where they call RCA. It's called a root cause analysis. Should have immediately happened to tell them what exactly happened, why it happened, and et cetera, and isolating it. So, right then and there, the computer, based on what they say, should have given them what they call in the industry, I guess they call it a fishbone diagram, a cause and effect diagram of where the system lays out. So it's like, as if though they want us to believe they're running BPL on pencil and paper rather than technology or whatever it is that they're doing. There's no explanation for what has happened.
Thanks for calling, C. Allen. We got another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Okay. This text says, news flash, it was his intention to spew 20 minutes of nothing. I missed a great episode of Andy Griffith to listen to the other nonsense. It says that text. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The difference with BPL and FPL with my limited knowledge is that Freeport was planned with every plausible scenario factored in. New Providence exploded with infrastructure, jobs, and huge foreign investment projects such as Atlantis, Bahama, and others. Also, the population boom, maintenance is a key element, but an island 21/7 is simply overpopulated for generation and distribution and power. It needs an upgrade. I don't buy any of that. The New Providence, its population didn't just explode. Not even close. And the investments that took place, whether it's Atlantis, Obama, they took place over time. They didn't. You don't just pop up on Atlantis. Atlantis came in three phases. You don't just pop. Come on. No. So this speech given by the PM was a 7/10. 7 out of 10. It explains something, but not everything. I said, okay, there you go. Well, your thing just not didn't explain much at all. We got a break. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply.
Orthopedics, where movement becomes medicine and treatments become triumphs. At Cleveland Clinic, it's more than just repairing what's broken. It's how we put ourselves back together to reconstruct, rehabilitate, and restore the things that give us life. The future of orthopedics is already in motion. For every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic.
Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Let me tell you why I believe the government will continue to experience challenges in its explanations to the Bahamian public about what is happening with the power company and other things. First of all, I think that there's far too much translucence with respect to the deals that are going on. By translucence, I mean you can't see through the thing. You're seeing mercurially, muddily through the thing. You have to be able to see clearly. And until the government is prepared to lay out information clearly about these deals that it's doing. What is the ownership structure of BGC as an example? What is the $8 million a month really being paid for? What is BPL's situation, BGC's situation in terms of operations? Until the government explains what is this, what really is going on with the LNG deal? I mean, is there a middleman? Is there not a middleman? If there's a middleman, who's the middleman? What's the arrangement? How is that going to work to the benefit of the Bahamian public? The deals there has to be clarity, and the government don't have to take my word for it. I promise you that unless there is clarity given about these things, suspicion will hover over many, many, many things the government is doing in respect to BPL and other things, including, for instance, the $700 million what's been supposedly transferred to National Investment Fund and so forth. Secondly, the government says there's $130 million of funds spent by BGT. I said 140 earlier, but it's $130 million to upgrade. But that notwithstanding, there's all these frequent power outages and massive power outages. Well, that doesn't mean it failed. That just means you have to wait for the rest. What is the rest? What is the rest being done? Somebody can tell the Bahamian public that. Listen, man, this is the day. In this day and age, you can put out videos and stuff like that. You can do YouTube cartoon stuff to explain to people what is going on. So people know. If you don't do that, people are going to continue to question and doubt, especially when they are living in the experience of outages, including outages happening while the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is delivering a speech on power outages. Right? Disruptions not experienced is not a measurement people are going to take seriously. It's not. Because you can't explain that in terms of any historic norms, because what are you measuring it against? The government continues to say historic this, historic. You know what historic means? Historic means that you are doing something at levels not seen in our history before. You mean to tell me that on the day they started BEC, BEC was having outages more frequent than we're experiencing now? That's what somebody signed to me? No. You have to use language that really enable people to believe that that really is a clear and authentic statement. But if you use languages that people could pass through and go, no, that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem, especially when you are sitting in a crisis, right? There is no narrative yet today that explains the outages. Some days it's the lightning. Some days it's the heat wave. Some days it's a mysterious cable underground that it just mysteriously explodes. Meantime, we got a whole power company in Grand Bahama subject to the same weather conditions and so forth, and they're not exploding. They're not experiencing the same power outages. We don't know. The fuel hedge, did y'all notice? The fuel hedge now is a thing. It was not effective when the Minnesota administration was doing it. We didn't cancel it, but it wasn't being done. And now we're told, well, for 1 year, we did and executed a fuel hedge. Now the fuel hedge is a thing. You know, this is part of the political ping ponging we do sometimes, where you can't give credit to nobody else for what they do. So you have to undermine it, and then you come right back and use it, but then you try to pretend like, oh, this is a brand new something we just did. And look how great it's working. Crazy. Right? The equity rate adjustment. Save Bahamians lots of money. Really? I couldn't see the connection. The Prime Minister did say, well, if you are not using 200 kilowatt hours, then your thing is free. No, it's not. It's not free. Somebody else paying for it. And not free. Either BPL is paying for it in losses, or other people are paying for it in the cost of electricity to them. It's not free. And we have to stop having Bahamian people believe that things are free. And unfree, there's no free thing at all. Somebody pays for it. The LNG deal, I spoke about that. How is that going to work? Prime Minister indicated that the international community is taking note, and he then alluded to Moody's. Now, I don't know if Moody's had private conversations with the government in which it said, you know, we think your energy reform is really going to make a difference to how your situation is going to be fiscally. But I could tell you, nothing in Moody's statements alludes to electricity reform or the Bahamas power like that I could see. Now, if somebody could point it out to me to see it, but Moody's upgrades were related in part to the country's improved fiscal situation. And why not? This is the country's fiscal situation improving vis-a-vis the pandemic. I mean, IDB, IMF, and others were saying that the Bahamas would return to more regular economic circumstances by 2024. So unless you break the economy, of course it was going to improve its fiscal situation. It only had an almost 100% debt to GDP ratio because its income had declined significantly because we turned our economy down. And so, yes, the economy's fiscal situation improved. Now, what Moody's did wasn't to upgrade the Bahamas to investment grade where it was before. before the government change, even before the pandemic, because the Bahamas went from investment grade to speculative or junk status in the pandemic. Before that, it was investment grade. For years and years and years since the Ingram administration invited Moody's to assess its sovereign debt worthiness, credit worthiness. It was an investment grade up to the pandemic. Following the election of 2021, it got downgraded the Bahamas twice. And now the upgrades have only taken the Bahamas up a notch or so in junk status. We're still at junk status. We're not where we used to be under Ingram, under Christie. I can't say Pinland because there was no credit rating agencies assessing the Bahamas' credit rating at that time. But we're still in junk status. And I could not see any connection between energy reform and those upgrades, which were mostly predicated on your economic outlook is better. And why wouldn't it be? We were moving out of the pandemic and your fiscal situation is improving. And why not? The government has done a fantastic job collecting revenue. Oh, no question about that. Fantastic job collecting revenue. Did raise VAT on a number of food areas that are prepared. So yeah, the revenue has been buoyant, and that definitely will improve the circumstances that you don't outpace your growth of your revenue by your expenditure. But it wasn't energy reform that I could see. And so, you know, overall, I didn't, you know, it was a well-written speech. I still believe that the arguments do not follow sound rationality. I don't think that they make the point. I don't think that they answer the questions with the clarity that people require. And I believe that people, many, many people, will continue to be dissatisfied. Now, I'm not talking about Progressive Liberal Party supporters who want to believe and who will believe that it was great speech. That's fine, and I don't begrudge them for that. And now am I talking about FNMs who, no matter what you do, is not going to be a great speech, right? Because they're not interested in that. I'm some FNMs. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people listening to try and figure out what is going on, why it's going on, when will it end. I don't think they got those answers last night. I don't. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us. Lord's best night. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Y'all have a fantastic afternoon.
Take a stand, everybody.